Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take newsletter. You can find me on the web at turnerstake.com. If you're a farmer and also looking for hedging advice, you can also go to turnerstakeag.com. I work with farmers, clients, broker assisted, but we also have online trading if you're interested in that. And you can also follow me on Twitter at Turner's Take. So all my contact information is in the show notes. If you have any need any help or are interested in Daniel's trading, myself for futures trading and commodities, you know where to find us. So let's get into the podcast for today. Hope everyone had a nice long break. We were off for Good Friday, and actually things got pretty slow at the end of last week. But things are now back to normal around here. Let's take a quick look at the macro picture. Looks like U.S. Housing starts were lower today, but permits were higher. So short term, I thought that macro piece of the picture was kind of bearish, but a little bit more bullish going forward if we're seeing the permits going up. I think that was really on the U.S. side. It looked like the pound was up higher today. The dollar was lower. Gold was higher. Treasuries were higher. So there were some questions earlier on Twitter, some of the financial press talking about, you know, is this a risk-off trade? Is this geopolitical, or is there something else going on? I think one thing with the pound going higher is basically British government said they're going to hold elections early, and that surprised everyone. And I think the reason they're doing that is the elections that are going to happen, we'll probably see the current prime minister find support. We'll also probably see the outcome of that election to be even more of a support for the Brexit. And the way it's been going with the Brexit, it doesn't seem like it'll be hurting Great Britain that much, especially if it's kind of like a smooth exit, which is the way they seem to be going. So the idea, I think, in the market here was those exits, basically those elections are going to lead to a more friendly outcome with the Brexit, and that's why the pound went higher. Subsequently, it also kind of sent put some pressure on the dollar, and that pressure on the dollar was good for gold and treasuries. Looks like treasuries were breaking out. I think we may have had a higher close today in gold. Just take a look at the chart real quick. We're going to be right there around 1292. We're going to be above 1290. I think we haven't had a close above 1290 in gold since last October. That could cause a little bit of technical buying. If you follow my newsletter, Turner's Take and the Market Alert, when we got long gold last week around 1275. We are trailing a stop as we go. I think we can get to 1320 would be our first target, and the second one will leave open. But that's what we've been saying, and it has been based on this risk-off kind of trade, the geopolitical risk. It started with, you know, ideas on it started with the United States getting involved with Syria, and then the talk back and forth between North Korea. But now we're seeing British elections. Some other things that have just been going on around the world have been adding to this risk-off kind of geopolitical trade, and we've seen more money coming in. So the more money that comes in, the higher the market goes. Technical levels get broken, see more technical buying, until something happens with the news cycle. So for right now, I like our gold position. I would stay with it. And that is really the macro right here. I think the macro was mixed data from U.S., and I think the British pound was the big story of the week. And quite honestly, you know, It definitely scared out the shorts. Anyone who was short the pound probably blew out. Not everyone, but you, if you look at the volume of the June pound today, it was about 275,000 contracts, give or take. You know, we average around 100. So we were 2 to 3 times over normal volume on a big spike higher. Usually these kind of moves, technically, from a technical perspective, can last a little while longer, as, you know, margin calls will go out today. People will see their statements, say, you know, do we want to stick with this? Do you just want to blow out our positions? We haven't been this low before. So I don't know. As a momentum trader, I kind of like the pound here. I don't know if you do that with options. Just get aboard on the futures, do something small and carry a stop. I mean, we're about 128.50 now. The lows of today, we're about 2 points higher. So you'd have to be risk about 125.5. So there are 3 points of risk in that currency to the downside. But, you know, I mean, that's what happens sometimes. You get everyone's been short. I shouldn't say everyone. A lot of people have been short the pound for a long time after the Brexit vote. And could this be the tipping point now to the upside where we can go into the 130s? So I actually am going to be writing about that either later tonight or tomorrow morning. I kind of want to just see if there's a little bit of a pullback here. But the action in the pound and the news that come out of pound has really piqued my interest in that contract. So we're going to stay with gold. We're going to take a look into the pound probably tonight and tomorrow. In terms of crude, let's talk about a few other big markets before we get into the grains. Crude. I think crude's rolling over. I've been talking about that. There are plenty of you out there that disagree with me. That is fine. But I think if you take a look, do this. Take a look at May crude chart, a daily chart. May crude, June crude, wherever you like. Bring it up. We're about 53 in June crude. Take a look at, you know, from December, the trend line going. Basically from the tops. We keep on making lower highs. OPEC doesn't seem to be able to really control supply. And when they do control the supply, it seems like the United States and other non-OPEC countries can come in and produce more. Some of the geopolitical risks that we were all worried about in the Middle East and Libya and stuff like that, Nigeria, haven't been affecting the market that much. You are seeing production come more online. And I don't know. I just think that, crude between 45 and 55 kind of makes sense, because if we get down to $45, it starts to become a bargain again. You see money coming into the market. Maybe we're not pumping as much in the United States. I would say definitely when you get to 40, you would think that'd be the case. When you get into the 50s, when you get into these low to mid 50s, it is profitable for a lot of production now to start coming online. That's not OPEC. So I don't know. I mean, if you look at, take a look at another thing then. Look at June versus December crude oil, the spread. All right, the June versus crude oil spread. We're about a minus $1.20. The range of that spread, June versus December, has been between a minus 180 to about even. So we are about, back in December when crude was at 55, 56, when kind of the height of that excitement of OPEC actually all agreeing to making cuts, the spread was at zero. And this time it's come down to minus 22, 122. We were down at a buck 80 on a carry back in July. Meanwhile, it helps to really be looking at the charts when I'm talking about this. But crude, just to give you an idea, you know, crude was at about $46 when we were at the lows of that spread. You know, when the spread was at about a buck minus 120, we were at 48, and here we are at 53. So something's not right. Either the future spread is telling us that crude should be lower, or the futures market is telling us that the spread should be higher. Personally, I think the spreads tend to tell the story and be the leading indicator here. I know there's a lot of money in crude on the spec side, and on the fund side, and that'd be holding like the contracts higher, the outrights higher, but the spreads really are pointing towards, a crude should be coming in. So between the technical pattern on the chart, I mean, if you went back to September of October of 16, you can make the case for a head and shoulders pattern. If you go from the highs of D16 to Jan 17 and draw a trend line down, we're going lower. You look at the future spreads. I like the short side of crude here. So between, you know, being a little bit bullish on gold, being a little bullish on the pound, kind of negative on crude. I don't know if the spreads are going to work out since they've come down so much, but I do like the idea of selling a mini contract, a futures contract, looking at, you know, the put spreads. Maybe you sell a call spread above 55 or something like that to take a little premium. There are a lot of ways to play it, a lot of ways to keep the risk down. If you are inclined to trade in crude, you're more than welcome. If you're a client here, to call me or email me. And if you're not, you just want to chat about it, see if you know, Daniels is a good fit for you. Certainly take a look at us. Not only can you trade with us, but we also have fantastic online technology. So that would be the way for crude. Also, I got to tell you, natural gas. Take a look at a chart of June natural gas. That looks to be rolling over too. However, I wouldn't want to be. I don't like getting in the same kinds of positions. Like, if I'm going to be in energy, I just try to pick on one of the energies. And I know crude and natural gas aren't one-to-one. It's not like, you know, crude, RBOB, and heating oil are highly correlated. That's not so much with natural gas. But if I had to pick one right now, which one I like the best, I'd probably be a little bit more bearish on crude than anything else. So that's what we'll be taking a look there. Alrighty. So down from the macro perspective, that's what we're looking like. Like gold, don't like crude, like the pound. Probably leave it at that. Corn, let's talk about grains and livestock now. You know, I've had this kind of an old crop hedge that we've used as a spec play. Kind of like a re-ownership for farmers and a spec play for traders. And it was small. It was buy in July, sell in Dec. And I'm just about to throw in the towel on it. I thought we would have gotten some kind of pop with these planting delays. We didn't. It just, it looks like everyone's throwing in the towel. So we're in from around 13 cents. We're at 15. We're down 5 cents. You know, $250 per spread. It's not like this is break in the bank. It was supposed to be just a small little trade we could hide in the account for a while, but you know, nothing has gone corn's way. It really is amazing how nothing has gone corn's way in the past 3 or 4 months, or for the grain markets. Kind of, you know, I have a lot of farmers we work with, and they're a little down in the dumps. I can't blame them. I mean, there are good years, there are bad years, but this year it seems to be I don't know. It's hard to find a bullish story, except for the fact that prices are so low. How much lower can they go? We all know the fact. We all know go a lot lower or higher than you ever think of. But it's I don't know. We're gonna have to revisit that July corn versus these corn. You know, we're down 5 cents now, which is not a huge deal. But you know, why sit in it? On the opposite side, there's a seasonal play to now coming up to be bear spread. Sep versus Dec, which is similar to bear spread July versus Dec. The risk reward is small on Sep versus Dec. This is a trade we talk about every year. And when it's trading at parity or higher, where Sep is trading even with Dec or higher, we usually get in. And when I say usually, I can't remember a year where we didn't get into that. This year, Sep is already 10 years lower. But with the massive stocks that we're expecting, and also the early harvest, I mean, some of the planting that's going on now, it's going to get. When I talk to people in central Illinois and you know, some of the other places on the southern part of that good Corn Belt land, man, we're going to be, I think we might be harvesting some pretty good corn in August. So between the huge stockpiles and the potential to harvest some of the early corn in Illinois and some of the other places people I talk to, you know, maybe Sep Dec corn can get 15 cents or lower below carry. I don't know. Usually 15 cents Sep Dec is full carry, but it just seems like a strange year where it could even go lower than anyone's thought, especially where prices are. So that's something we'll keep an eye on. Maybe we'll talk about that in a newsletter as kind of like a way we talk about MRCI, because we will. MRCI has been good to us. They've made their reports available, and I will talk about some of their seasonal spreads when we both like them. In terms of soy, so there's corn, and also Dec corn. If you're going to trade corn, you know, the July corn contract, we're at a big, we're coming right up to a big support level. I don't know if it's going to be 365 or, oh, probably 362. If we break through that, we could go down to 350 in July. As far as these corn goes, probably 380 and then 375. We did have those lows way back in August of last year after the crop was made in these corn at 360. Hard to, I just find it hard to believe we'd be down there, especially when we're having some planting delays and we haven't started the growing season yet. I would think we could push up to 4 one more time, but, you know, I think we're going to need weather to help us get there. In terms of soybeans, it looks like we're consolidating. I was kind of hoping we'd bottom here at 950 in November and make another run at 10. I think a lot of farmers would benefit from selling some $10 new crop again. I don't know if we can get there. We did have some pretty strong volume on a down day today. You know, if you look at July versus Nov beans, we're down again to a carry on some pretty good volume too. So my concern now with soybeans, we've got such a huge amount of acres coming in. That South America crop is massive. We're going to have record, we could have record global stocks, record U.S. stocks. We're at 950. You can still make the case there's a dollar of soybean, it's a dollar of weather premium back in soybeans. We did lift some hedges around 945, 950. We got up to 970. At this point, we're about 958, 957. And I got to tell you, I have no problem putting these hedges back on. After that price action, you know, sometimes you get the price action, the rebound, and you get a lot of money coming in. The bounce in prior years had been 50 cents to a dollar in beans. This year, the bounce in soybeans after that low as we, after the planting intentions report might only be 20 cents. That's kind of, that's just, that's not good. So I am not thrilled with the price action in beans. I don't know, maybe put spreads, maybe that's what we'll look into here. Even if you're break even, even if you're farming, your break even's 970, 950, 960, which I know some are out there. I mean, the prices could still go to 860. I would still try to be protected on the on a put spread or something like that if we go lower, even if it's below break even, because, you know, it's still a dollar better than you would do if we close down there come fall. So that is something I would keep an eye on. I do not like the technical picture in soybeans right now. I would love to see November beans hold that 945 area. If we close below 945 in November soybeans, we could go to $9. So just to keep an eye on that. I do see a little bit of a bright spot was Kansas City wheat. Take a look at a chart of July Kansas City wheat. We did see some support there at about 425, 430. We're also seeing some support now in that spread, July versus Chicago. I like that spread. I just think, you know, July versus Chicago, I mean, Kansas City versus Chicago wheat, new crop, which is July. I know we're going to have a lot of wheat. I know wheat's going to be low priced. I do think that high protein wheat is eventually going to get its protein premium back. And just based on premium differentials, I would think Kansas City wheat trades at least 10 cents over Chicago, you know, by harvest here, by the time we get the first notice day. If it doesn't, there's definitely something going on with either deliveries, demand on the exports, or quality of the Chicago wheat contract. So those are the risks, but if we get good crops for both those, if we get a good crop for both the Chicago wheat and the Kansas City wheat, I would really think for that spread to be trading anywhere, somewhere between 10 and 20 cents over by first notice day in the end of June. I've talked about that and written about that. A lot of people have questions about why we think that. Contact me directly. So the last part we're going to go right now is let's talk the livestock. Two things. Hogs were down, broke below 72 in June. The first time in since October on big volume. To me, that's a sell trigger from a technical standpoint. You know, we are hearing reports of there have been a lot of hogs that were expected to come to market, and we heard that when June was trading in the high 70s. It got to 80, and it's really come down here in the past month from like 80 to 71. We did make a new low, so if you are short hogs, you'd probably want to stay short hogs. I know we were bear spread for a while, and we rode that for a point. We took it off. Looks like we got out early, but hey, whatever, you know, a gain is a gain on that. June hogs, I mean, if we, now you got to start asking yourself, how low can you go on this one? We're at about 71.35. I mean, maybe we make another run into the high 60s here, but seeing that volume today on a lower close on big volume is not the sign of a bull market at all. So I would think we'd still have some more pressure in June hogs. But at some point it's going to be a buy because, you know, the hog market does typically, you know, seasonally there should be support for it as we head into summer. But right now we're definitely not seeing that. So it will. That's one to keep an eye on, maybe for reversal. At some point we're going to have to reverse in that. I think it's too late to get short unless you want to do a quick momentum trade on some of these triggers. Cattle had some pretty good volume today, and we had a little bit of a doji. You can make the case it was pretty close to being a doji. I don't know. You can make a case for topping action on that. The cash prices are pretty high. The futures have made a nice little run up here. I saw the spreads and the futures back off at the end. We do typically put in a spring high at some point in April, and then seasonally cattle will tend to come down. I don't think it's going to be as big as a drop this year just because where prices are and we're kind of lower. But there's also, if you look at the cattle on feed reports, there's a lot of cattle coming to the market. So, and that's going to be here this summer. That's one of the reasons why I liked that that short August, long October spread, which went against us today. It actually hit our, if you were working a stop on that, it hit our stop point, which I don't like at all. I would actually try to get back into that on any kind of a rally. I think that's just the cattle market's just about overdone. But I'll write more about that as we talk about, you know, as the market moves. I just think we're a little bit early on that. And that's where we are now. So, yeah, I would start looking for, at some point, I'm starting to look now for a top in cattle. But I need something on the charts first. And the cash market. So if the cash market prices are starting to be weak, which they were last week, and then we see a reversal on the charts, I'm going to try to jump on that. With hogs, I do think we're going lower. But at some point, you do see a reversal. You do see a trend going higher as we get into summer with the hog market. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. It's not time to get in yet, probably. And then we'll be looking at the pound. I still like the Kansas City versus Chicago wheat spread. We'll see if November beans close about below 9.45. You know, we are... And then we'll have to figure out something about with corn with that July D. So maybe we reverse it and do a SEP D spare spread or something like that. So, and we'll stay with gold and we'll take a look at see if crude really does roll over here and how we might want to play that. So that's pretty much where we are. That's what we're going to be writing about. Going forward, there's been a lot of focus on the stock market. I would just, I don't know, there just seems to be too much news, too many different opinions, too much push and pull with the stock, so I would leave that alone. If you did notice, treasuries, I think, broke out today. So that was interesting. Treasuries are breaking out. Gold is making new highs. The dollar was down, yet the stocks really couldn't do anything. To me, that means I just want to leave it alone for a while. So hope you like the podcast. You can find all my contact information in the show notes. You can go to turnerstake.com if you want to take a trial to my newsletter, which is Turner's Take Market Alert, where we talk about the spec trades. If you're a farmer and you want to know more about what we're doing in terms of marketing and when we're making recommendations for cash sales or hedges in a hedge account, you go to turnerstakeag.com. And for those of you on Twitter, go ahead and follow me at Turner's Take. Hope you have a good trading day, and hopefully we will get back to you on Thursday. Thanks very much.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors, such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniel's Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniel's Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.